Dolly Show is not afraid to tell the hard truth. Maybe an interpretive dance can soften the blow. The show starts now.
Hearing today is not about white nationalism or hate crimes. It's about fear-mongering, power, and control. It's a preview of a Democrat 2020 election strategy, same as the Democrat 2016 election strategy. They blame Facebook, they blame Google, they blame Twitter. Really, they blame the birth of social media, which has disrupted their monopoly on minds. They called this hearing because they believe that if it wasn't for social media, voices like mine would never exist. That my movement, Blexit, which is inspiring Black Americans to leave the Democrat Party, would have never come about. And they certainly believe that Donald Trump would not be in office today. Looking on the next thing to focus on now that the Russian collusion hoax has fallen apart. What they won't tell you about this, the statistics and the rise of white nationalism, is that they've simply changed the data set points by widening the definition of hate crimes and upping the number of reporting agencies that are able to report on them. They're manipulating statistics. The goal here is to scare Blacks, Hispanics, gays, and Muslims into helping them censor dissenting opinions, ultimately into helping them regain control of our country's narrative, which they feel that they lost. They feel that President Donald Trump should not have beat Hillary. If they actually were concerned about white nationalism, they would be holding hearings on Antifa, a far-left, violent, white gang who determined one day in Philadelphia in August that I, a Black woman, was not fit to sit in a restaurant. They chased me out. They yelled race traitor to a group of Black and Hispanic police officers who formed a line to protect me from their ongoing assaults. They threw water at me. They threw eggs at me. And the leftist media remained silent on it. Bottom line is that white supremacy, racism, white nationalism, words that once held real meaning, have now become nothing more than election strategies. Every 4 years, the Black community is offered handouts and fear. Handouts and fear. Reparations and white nationalism. This is the Democrat preview.
Hi there. Welcome. Woo! Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. So glad that you're tuned in today. Ooh, Candace Owens. I just love her more and more every day. What can I say? She is just such a blessing. Can I just tell you, in telling it straight, coming from a Black woman saying this is what's up. And Ted Lieu, you know, that wacko congressman from California, major avowed socialist, basically tried to accuse her of being a Hitler lover. And boy, she fired back at him and told him he was dishonest, took a quote of hers out of context. I mean, it was just crazy. And I'm so glad that she's so fiery. Welcome to the show today. You're listening to the Kate Daly Show. You can go to katedalyradio.com for all the podcasts, our podcasts of the show. I welcome Melissa Smith. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah. But here's my meditation for the day, Kate.
What's up?
Seriously, everyone in my home owns a laptop.
Okay.
Mine kind of went down today, and I had an absolute panic attack.
Did you?
It's just this kind of a sad thing. We've become completely dependent on, like, I have a phone, I have a laptop, my laptop wasn't working, and I'm like, what am I going to do? Oh my gosh.
Isn't that so true, though? We really, really are, and very, very dependent. And, I mean, I'm so grateful for it in a way, because we have information coming at us like never before, but then again, it's, we're so addicted too. And by the way, so proud of Candace. She nails it. I'm glad that there's a voice out there that's courageous enough and young enough to get across to people. And a lot was going on in Congress. So we have Barr to talk about, the Attorney General. We have all kinds of things to talk about and bring into this conversation, because it was very, very busy day today and yesterday.
And before the hour's over, Candace Owens was talking about the 2020 strategy.
Yes.
And I want to talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
Because I have something that people might be interested in regarding that very issue.
Regarding their mission?
It's a fascinating thing.
Their mission is well planned, we'll say. So what happened with Barr? What's the latest?
Well, it's just fascinating. And I guess, you know, in the three-ring circus that our Congress has become, it's just fun to kind of watch the Democrats just panic and seize up.
I know Rush was giddy. Rush was very giddy.
It was a giggle fest on Rush Limbaugh today.
Oh, sure.
I kid you not. He was just so enthusiastic. Because here's some of the stuff that that Barr said today, and this is brilliant. So the Russia probe is complete. The Mueller report is on Barr's desk. They are working on redacting it right now. But so here's the very serious, you know, the Democrats. And here's what he had to say. This is a quote from Barr himself. I think spying on a camp political campaign is a big deal. Adding that he did believe that spying had occurred. And then he said, I'm not suggesting that those rules were violated, but I think it's important to look at them. And the Democrats, and I don't know who it was that said it, had to ask him again, like, espionage, that's spying, that's a very serious word, and we want to give you the opportunity to clarify your comments and make sure you say exactly what you mean. And he said, no, I'm sticking with it. That's what I meant.
All right.
So what he's saying, and I think it seems reasonable, he's saying he believes that something happened and it should be examined. Is that controversial in your world?
Well, I can't imagine that, I mean, that's the least of it. And so I'm hoping that there's a lot more to that story that comes out than not exoneration, but a diminishing of what happened. And I'm hoping that it doesn't get diminished down to, let's just give it a looky, a look-see, but let's actually bring up charges on people that tried to demonstrate a coup, that tried to, that went in and spied on a candidate for president. Let's, because we don't, you know, obviously the intelligence agencies need to be exposed. So I hope it's not diminished. And I'm glad that he's pointing the camera at that. I'm glad that he keeps bringing it up and saying that, because it needed, well, it needed to be a long time ago.
I think you said some really important words there that I believe, and I believe there's other people that believe this as well, that we watched a slow motion coup taking place that was, talk about the deep state and the swamp and whatever you want to talk about, but they legitimately tried to have a coup and take down a sitting president. And now it has not worked out, and I think there's a lot of panic among the people who were involved lest their names come up for examination. And I just really, really, really hope, I think it would do go a long way to restore people's confidence in the government if we did see indictments and we did see jail sentences.
I agree. Barr said this. He said, more generally, I'm reviewing the conduct of the investigation and trying to get my arms around all the aspects of the counterintelligence investigation that was conducted during the summer of 2016. Well, actually, it was longer than that. But here's the deal, though. It, with Mueller being part of other investigations still going on with, like, Huber, he might not be able to testify in any of this, too. And so we need to kind of make sure we're remembering that, too, that it might get a little weird because of who can testify, who can't, if it comes to that.
And I don't know all the congressional rules, but I am sure there are ways for them to have closed-door hearings. And I understand if there are national security issues at stake here, that those should not be necessarily aired in front of the entire American public. However, the fact that the investigation goes forward, now it's the investigation on the investigation.
On the one that it should have been on in the very beginning. Reverting back to the actual crime that actually happened. I mean, that might, it might get juicy if they're willing to go far enough. Let's just hope.
And if they're willing to go high enough.
I don't have a lot of faith. I don't have a lot of faith in a lot of people in Washington that they're actually willing to hang people. And I don't mean physically. I just mean out to dry for the things that they do. It seems to always get pushed under the rug, unless it's so overwhelming in the evidence that they, like Dennis Hazard, had to go to prison because of pedophilia. But I'm talking about this kind of stuff getting kind of swept under. Do you know what I mean? Like Hillary getting swept under, her lying getting swept under. So nobody wants to ever seem to bring that up, and I can't imagine why.
Well, because I think there is a narrative that certainly the leadership in Congress has bought into. And then to question the narrative is like stepping outside of the matrix or something. Like, we all know that only Republicans can be corrupt. That's just like a fact, right? Mm-hmm.
Yep, yep.
And so if anyone challenges the notion that Hillary could be corrupt,
yeah,
that's just so bizarre. It's like you're in an episode of The Twilight Zone.
Even though there's mountains of evidence. So there's
right,
so many
because
things.
We all know, and we have all agreed upon already, the fact is that Hillary can't be corrupt because she's not a Republican.
Right, right. That's what
it's
the leftists
think. It's just a stupid, strange way of thinking, but I think it's more pervasive than we believe.
And I think on the sides issue, a lot of Republicans think that the Republicans can do no wrong. They're really not doing as much harm as the liberals. Well, doing harm in different ways, and to be honest. And that's why I don't trust anyone in, I really don't. I can applaud when things go right, but I really don't trust anyone in government because I don't know what the final outcome of this is going to be. And this should have been done a while ago. Sessions didn't do much with it, and he should have, because this, obviously it was out being played out in hearings. Why was there not more of an investigation? Why wasn't Hillary really investigated when everyone knew she lied? I mean, it was so apparent. So it's sad when it's obvious, and it still goes under the radar.
She didn't just lie on one thing. Mm-hmm. She lied on multiple issues.
Yeah.
Over and over, whether we're talking about the bleach, whatever that word is, you know, when the destruction of her personal computer systems,
mm-hmm.
or we're talking about Uranium One, or we're talking about the Clinton Foundation, or we're talking about Benghazi, she lied about a whole bunch
of
stuff.
Or Haiti, or multiple pedophilia rings. I mean, we could go on and on. And so,
So the evidence is rather overwhelming.
Uh-huh. And
but she's going to walk.
They still don't do much about it.
Because it's a defiance of, you know, the rules.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, protect your own and protect that, which isn't your own, because they might not protect you back, because there's so much going on. And so we all know this, and we know how this is going to get played out. I mean, I think we kind of do. But I'm hoping that more is made out of this. I mean, they just made a two-year hoax seem rather real when no one can ever name the outcome or benefit as to what Russia even got out of it, because there was no benefit. If there's no benefit, they can't even point to that. I can't believe they got away with 2 years of drawing this hoax out. And so the fact that this went under the table while we're investigating something that didn't happen, well, it just goes to show you we're in distraction mode. And I hope that this is given attention and that people stick with this. We'll be right back, more with Melissa when we come back. Let's see what the party's up to as far as what they're aiming for in 2020. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Are you now? Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Everything changed. I couldn't run. I couldn't stay dry. What do you do when there's nowhere to hide?
Listening to the Kate Daly Show. So glad you are. Go to katedalyradio.com to find the show's podcast. And we're also on iTunes as well, the Kate Daly Show. And welcome to WCGO, KZNU, all of our outlets, Red State Talk Radio, Love and Liberty, TalkStream Live, all kinds of outlets. And so grateful that you're tuning in around the globe. I have Melissa Smith on with me every Wednesday. And always fun to have Melissa on. And we were just talking about Barr and what was going on with that. And we'd also like to talk about 2020 and what the strategic plan, because they do have well-laid plans, I'll tell you that, especially the leftist progressives. They do plan it out, and they have a lot of money behind them to do it. So let's talk about 2020.
Okay, well, I in doing some research and sniffing around on the internet,
mm-hmm.
I came across a document that's called Democracy Matters,
mm-hmm.
Strategic Platform for Action 2017 to 2020. And so this is an older document.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the information has already come to pass, and we've bypassed it and moved on. But it does give you the vision,
mm-hmm.
of a couple of groups for how, and they say pretty much our goal here is to take Trump down and restore our power. That's
right.
Pretty much.
Well, it's not called Republic Matters. It's called Democracy Matters.
No. So they should have called it the Democracy Matters, yeah. Even right out of the gate.
Well, they should have called it Mob Matters.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what they should have called it.
Because that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Because that's what their goal is to do.
Yeah.
And they say right from the beginning, mm-hmm. Is that they're under siege. Mm-hmm. And they have to do some things to strike back. It's very the entire document is full of very aggressive language. They're going to weaponize social media. Have they done that?
Oh yeah. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
They've even got the CEO of Twitter right in their pocket. I mean, he's been in their pocket since the inception of Twitter. And that's why Twitter was backed by CIA money very, very quickly, because a lot of them are owned all by the same outlets. And so, and they cater to the same outlets, and the same owner is Media Matters, of course. And so it's all connected. It's crazy.
So here, this is from the beginning mm-hmm. of this document. And it just is kind of entertaining to read mm-hmm. if it wasn't such a bad thing.
Right.
They say this, Trump is the least popular incoming president in modern history, and the outgoing president and popular vote winner are again the most admired man and woman in the nation. The country did not vote for Trump style change. So can I mm-hmm. ask Kate, mm-hmm. what did we vote for?
Well, We overwhelmingly didn't want a Clinton in the White House, I'll tell you that, and for good reason. Too bad we couldn't get rid of the whole slew of, all near 500 of them over 500 of them, because they're all in somebody's pocket. But at the same time, we didn't want certain things. And we have avowed socialists running for office. And this guy, the guy that owns Democracy Matters, is what Time Magazine said is one of the most influential operatives in the Democratic Party. And people don't realize David Brock and his power and what he can do, because these names don't surface a whole lot. But he sure is in the background pulling some strings, I'll tell you that much.
Okay, so here, this is also from the introduction on this document. Mm-hmm. And I want, as I read it, ask yourself, do they really believe this stuff
right.
themselves? Or is this for whose consumption is this designed for, and who is doing this?
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So here it is. Are you ready?
Yes, please.
We're going to resist the normalization of Donald Trump, his every conflict of interest, his every bit of cronyism, his every move towards authoritarianism, mm-hmm. his every subversion of our democratic systems and principles, his every radical departure from foreign and domestic policy norms.
The norm. What was the norm? Oh, the norms to be a globalist. Okay, I'm with you.
Right.
Go ahead.
Right. We are going to contest every mm-hmm. effort at every level of government to limit rights.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I had Candace Owens here to comment on this. To limit rights,
right.
rescind protections, entrench inequality, redistribute wealth upwards, or in any other way fundamentally undermine the tenets of egalitarianism that must serve as the bedrock of our democracy.
If you ask them to provide a list of all of the things he's done to do all of the things they just listed, I'm sure they could probably come up with maybe one or two items like they would with anybody, but the list would be incredibly incomplete and extremely short. All the things they just listed as fact as to what they're pertaining to Trump doing haven't actually happened. So it's kind of amazing that they could even throw that list together, those awful generalities, if you will. Strange.
It's just ridiculous.
Wow.
It's a piece of propaganda.
Yeah.
And I'm not really sure who it's designed for.
Well, it's just designed, to make them feel better.
If it was more sinister, then I would think, well, this is for insiders.
Yeah.
It's not quite designed for insiders, but it's not quite designed for the general public.
Right.
So it makes me wonder if they really do believe this nonsense.
Hmm.
Anyway,
well, they do.
Lots of questions.
They do, because they say, well, he's a criminal. And if you ask how or why, there's no answer. They usually go to personality. That's not criminal, but that's usually their answer. And that he has no business being president. They actually can't, just like they can't quantify that he's a racist. He dated a black woman.
Right.
He can't. I don't know how that makes. I don't know how they come up with he's a racist. It's kind of a strange thing because they never do quantify it. They only say he is. And just because you say somebody is, there's no proof.
It's like only Republicans can be corrupt.
Right.
It's just a fact.
Yes.
He's a white man. He has to be racist.
Mm-hmm.
End of discussion.
Right.
So Trump has to be racist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just a fact. Can't wrap your mind around it.
I know. Get busy. I mean, come on.
So here's more. Mm-hmm. And think back again about what Candace Owens said about who they blame and why.
Okay.
So this is more. It's just brilliant.
And this is
generally
for their 2020.
Speaking, and simply put, Democrats got clobbered in the digital space. The Trump camp spoke effectively to the grassroots and relied on online channels to disseminate information and misinformation and influence the media, even getting fake stories onto cable TV. Can you believe that? And the right colonized Facebook, which has established a virtual monopoly on information distribution. Our digital efforts were largely focused on changing the narrative within the traditional media versus voters. This worked to a point, but wasn't enough in the face of a news media incentivized by profit and access and fearful of intimidation and bullying by the Trump forces.
They were totally bullied by the leftists to give their message. It's so funny because they went all guns a-firing on Trump that entire time during the election, if you're just going to look at that. And what's so funny about this is that they had every angle, every opportunity. In fact, didn't they give social media and media in general, news media, all the credit in getting Obama elected? So what failed with Hillary, since they clearly knew what to do to get somebody elected, because that's what they gave credit to? Nobody wanted Hillary. Nobody wanted, she was rank. Nobody wanted her. She's so gross.
They can't. They will not look at that.
Right,
they
right.
They cannot look at that and say nobody wanted
so
Hillary.
So it's the media's fault. It was the media's fault. Not their gross policies. Not their horrible policies. Not horrible Hillary. It was the media. It was the social media and all
oh,
the
you
rest.
Know, I those poor people at CNN, they were so scared by what the right wing was going to do to them.
CNN only listens to the liberal. They only listen because that's who owns them. And that's what's so funny is every talk show, every angle, everything was in their favor. They had it all. They even had more than when Obama ran for president. They had it all. So,
and poor Rachel Maddow.
Yeah.
She just cries when she doesn't get the right story, right?
Right, right.
It's ridiculous. This is absolutely just incredibly ridiculous. So here's the strategy. Here's how they're going. We have to adapt to the new reality, and here's how we're going to win.
Mm-hmm.
All right. In the next 4 years, Media Matters, I hope everybody's familiar with who Media Matters is.
Yeah, the big lefter.
Their core mission will be to disarm right-wing misinformation. And here's how they're going to do it.
Okay.
But ask yourself if they have done this. Serial misinformers and right-wing propagandists inhabiting everything from social media to the highest levels of government will be exposed and discredited.
Right. They've done that.
I wonder, if we ask Alex Jones or if we ask Michael Savage or if we ask even Tucker Carlson.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did they get?
Oh,
they were absolutely. Came after him.
And we were just talking on the break how Facebook's committee to go through the information to decide if it's fake news is from Media Matters. So it's like the Nazis saying we're going to form a Nazi commission to see if what we're doing is Nazi-like. So you're not going to get another answer. And so that's why what's so funny is Twitter is owned and Facebook is owned. They're policing themselves. It's actually really funny because they actually do have everything in their favor. They've got everyone in their pocket. So,
yeah. And later on, so this is like in the preliminary information in this document. If you go back to the section on Media Matters, they talk about how Media Matters has been data mining for years. which I think is a really interesting thing that they're saying.
Yes, I'm admitting
I'd like to know how they've been data mining for years, except we know that story, too, because I think Mark Zuckerberg is in trouble for some of this, right?
Yes, yes.
For selling all our data.
Yeah.
Who are they selling it to? They're selling it to freaking Media Matters.
Yeah.
That's one of the places they're selling it, because Media Matters, they say, we're masters of this information. We know we can identify fake news. We know where it's coming from. They even say we have a list.
Yeah.
And we intend to take those people down.
And they even own Google.
We're not going to allow them to publish anymore on. No kidding. It's kind of ominous. And then they said, and we approached the CEO of Facebook, and we went to Twitter, and we went to Google, and we told them they had to stop it, and that we had the tools that we could help them do that. And they were initially not agreeable, but they are now.
Oh, this circus.
Isn't that great news?
And they own
that
Google.
That just makes me feel so fabulous.
So the Google search results all match what they would like, too. So they had that working for them, too. So, yeah, it's pretty
but
amazing.
They're kind of asserting here that the Google algorithm and the Facebook algorithms were tweeted and tweaked, I guess is the right word.
Right.
Because Media Matters provided them the information that gave them the ammo to tweak it in the right, in the appropriate directions.
Yeah. What they're basically saying is we have all the tools and all the ammo, and we know exactly what we're doing, but we'd like to blame what we're doing for not winning last time.
Right. That's very, very well put.
Okie dokie.
So the next one point here for Media Matters was that internet and social media platforms like Google and Facebook will no longer uncritically and without consequence host and enrich fake news sites and propagandists. So I would add at this point, Twitter and Reddit and all the other social media platforms. Mm-hmm. So is this why when Unplanned came out, they were stripped of their Twitter feed?
And why the CEO, Alyssa Milano's child, that's his godchild. She named him after, anyway, that's his godchild, is Melissa Milano's child, the owner of Twitter. Be right back on The Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is The Kate Daly Show.
Days when the rains came down in the hollow, playing a new game, laughing and running, hey, skipping and jumping.
Welcome back. Kate Daly Show here. Tomorrow on the show, the interview, the CRISPR interview, we're going to find out about what's going on with CRISPR. Very interesting when it comes to gene editing on tomorrow's show. Ted Nugent in the beginning of May, he'll be interesting. He's a wild card. And lots of really fun, kind of different, diverse interviews coming up on the show as well in the next few weeks. Just thought I'd let you know. I have the great Melissa with me, Melissa Smith. Every Wednesday, Melissa Smith joins me and for this portion of the show and talking about some of the events that are going on, and we were just talking about this, the groups that sort of plot and strategize to try and get their power. And these groups are very anti-American. Their tactics are anti-American. You're going to talk about America, American Bridge.
And these other ones are less familiar than Media Matters. American Bridge is a super PAC that only supports Democratic candidates, and they spend a lot of their time researching and opposing Republican candidates. And they will go to any length
and
to do that.
You should say how, because the trackers and what they do, this is the same owner, David Brock, as Media Matters for America. So it's heavily funded by Soros. He is the largest group donor to this group.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. In this document, the American Bridge's number one priority is to defeat Trump either through impeachment or at the ballot box. That they say that straight up. How many times have you heard someone talk about impeachment, impeachment, impeachment? We've heard it over and over like a drumbeat.
Yeah.
And this is the source of that.
Mm-hmm.
If they say it often enough,
it becomes true.
Then people will embrace it.
Yeah, it's so.
So how will they kind of do that? Some of their strategies, they have a Trump war room already.
Mm-hmm.
They've had it since 2017.
Right.
And they are going to vet every single nominee that Trump puts forward.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with vetting people.
Well,
that's not the problem. The problem that I have is the people of greatest concern that they're mm-hmm. going to come after hardcore are the people that, and this is a quote, have the greatest impact on our progressive values in mm-hmm. areas of women's health,
mm-hmm.
reproductive freedom, workers' rights, climate change, and the treatment of immigrants.
Yep. Yep. And they, I think it's the way they do it too. They employ 50, at least 50 trackers. And what they do is they follow and record Republican candidates across the country. Okay. They get their money from Soros. So they're able to do this full time. And the trackers are equipped with high tech recording gear and they're assigned to Republican targets to follow and record. And so their goal, as they even said to New York Times, they're totally admitting to all this, record every handshake, every utterance by a candidate looking for gotcha moments that could derail political ambitions, private fodder for television advertisements for liberal groups. And it's such an insane business politics is, and it's so down on the mat, almost, you know, violent. Their whole MO is to do everything anti-American so that they can get American power. It's very weird. And
well,
sad.
We can add some to that. They also have live stream mm-hmm. technology so that any one of their people with their recording devices can live stream back to D.C. and they can inform people on the ground in a minute.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is what you need to say or this is what you need to do. And
mm-hmm.
they can course correct with their strategists in Washington who are watching a live feed. They also maintain a vault. Now, listen to this. This is also crazy mm-hmm. weird. They have a 16-terabyte video archive created in conjunction with DARPA.
Jeez.
Yeah, that's not. And the fact that they admit it is interesting. So that they can monitor candidates' media appearances. The vault also has a revolutionary new technology that indexes audiovisual materials by phonetic sounds, allowing us to find useful tidbits of information. And my question immediately was, they're little useful tidbits of phonetic sounds. Does it allow them to create fake videos?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They have video. I just watched a little film clip yesterday about how easy it is now
mm-hmm.
to take video and manipulate it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have the right kinds of, you know, phonetic sounds available to you, you can make a candidate, you can make a person say anything.
Yeah. Don't you remember the movie with John Travolta portraying Clinton? And that was when Krispy Kreme became highly recognizable nationally. What was the movie? Primary Colors? And that's
yeah.
exactly what they were doing. They were recording and then snipping it into, you know, trying to get the person to say whatever they wanted them to say and how simple and easy it was. And they could just record just about anything. It was pretty diabolical.
So how old is that movie?
25 years.
Yeah, that was when Clinton was
yeah.
running.
Yeah.
So do you think that that technology exists? I'm pretty sure it does.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. In everything now. So, I mean, it's so easy to do for them. And that's why this is so, it's so disgusting. That's why, hence the name Swamp, you know, that name wasn't just created for a reason, just to pin any name on it. It's so dirty. It's so disgusting what power has become to people and how they get it. Just like David Brock and all of his different groups. A lot of the names of these kinds of people do not get thrown around a lot in the media. And we're not aware of a lot of these groups. And so we think of them as a whole, but there are so many branches of this. It's huge. There's so many different PACs and branches and American Bridge for, you know, 21st University and Media Matters and Democracy Matters and all kinds of different tentacles.
Well, here's another one, and their name is also, like, so paradoxical. They call themselves CREW, and it stands for Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Doesn't that sound noble?
As much as the Patriot Act sounds patriotic, everything's given a name like that. Holy cow.
Oh, so they claim to be a nonpartisan watchdog group on ethics.
I'm sure they do.
But I don't believe they've watchdogged a single Democrat.
No.
Not people that have stacks of money in their freezer.
Yeah.
Not people that think that Guam is going to flip over.
Mm-hmm.
Not people that are outright socialists. Not people that auditioned for their part. None of that. None of that matters.
Nope.
No. Here's what their goals are. Trump will be afflicted by a steady flow of damaging information, new revelations, and an inability to avoid conflicts issues. Trump administration will be forced to defend illegal conduct in court, and powerful industries and interest groups will see their influence wane, like George Soros. Mm-hmm. Are we going to see his influence wane?
No.
But they have been rather successful at keeping people in the Trump administration tied up in court.
Yeah, and I think more attention on not what's actually going on around the globe and to our liberty, but between who gets the power. And I know a lot of people out there are, gee, as long as we can keep the power in the House and the power in the Senate and the power in the presidency, we'll be good. We also said that 2 years ago, and it hasn't fared. It's fared okay for us in some areas, and then in a lot of areas it hasn't. And I'm hoping that people are not just going to relax if that happens, because we're not holding feet to the fire on this, on our side too. The leftists don't seem to care whether to hold feet to the fire. I think there's a love just for power. But I think on the right, we just do a terrible job at saying, well, you're promising this, now I want it delivered, or you're not going back in. We have a problem with holding feet to the fire on the right. And I think if on the right, that does happen, people went to sleep 2 years ago thinking, well, everything was going to be covered and fine. And it hasn't been covered and fine. So we all go, well, the biggest threat is if they get everything. Well, if they get everything, everything happens a little quicker in the demise sector. But it's also happening on the right, too, if we don't hold feet to the fire. It's us, the American people, that have to see through all of this and recognize all the junk they're doing to get the power. And we fail to see that. See, the left calls it games, but then they say that the right are criminals, right? And so we can do that on the right, too. And that's the problem, is what all these groups, what they're doing is criminal. What they're doing for power is criminal, all of them. But we just have a hard time, I think. We just think always the left is always the biggest threat. No, both are the threat to me. But
well, it would be interesting. Several years ago, many years ago now, I was in Washington at a conference, and we got to hear from an advisor she was a pollster, and it was an advisor to the Republican campaign. And she gave just this blistering talk about how Republican candidates did not listen to her.
Mm-hmm.
They refused to live in reality.
Yeah.
And she said, here are some of the weaknesses that you have. You need to learn to speak to these audiences. You need to learn to do. I believe she was talking about Mitt Romney's campaign, if I recall correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like total oblivious. Didn't think they had to make the case. And she said, as a result of that, huge blocks of voters who should have been Republican voters were not.
Right.
Because they refused. They just lived in this bubble world.
Right. No, it's true. We have a big problem with that. And I think that we need to be talking about these groups that are doing this, and not on the right-left paradigm conversation, but more about what people are willing to do for this power and why as a whole. And I think if we could look at it through that lens more and be more hypercritical of what's actually going on, because we're not. And the things that we expected to happen by now, they should be happening by now. And we've got to hold feet to the fire. For sure.
I just want people, I have heard it many times from conservative friends that say, I don't understand why the left hates Trump so much. Well, they hate Trump because this is the vehicle, this is the lever that they're going to use to move voters to their side. It's a power play.
Right, right.
I'm not sure they really do hate Trump that much, except that it is frustrating their plan to regain power.
Mm-hmm.
And,
well,
you know, nothing is as good as, you know, we can all beat this dead horse over here.
Yeah.
And I think they hate him because that serves their political ends.
Oh, absolutely. And also, I mean, everything that they're doing right now is kind of imploding on them, and they know it. And so I think that what to watch is the fact that there's going to be a lot of people that even go now Russian hoax that weren't doing that before. And that we're actually thinking that something had happened. And so maybe as they turn the conversation on to the investigation of the intelligence agencies that sought to demonstrate a coup, you know, certainly we can start seeing through some of the stuff going on, I hope. And not because of the right-left thing, but just because we need to identify all the bad actors. We need to start identifying them. Even if it hurts on the right for us to identify those on the right, we still have to do it. And we have to have that courage to do it.
Well, the last group that's contained in this document is an organization called Share Blue.
Mm-hmm.
And they are tasked with taking back social media for the Democrats.
I'm sure they are.
They're going to delegitimize Donald Trump's presidency by emboldening the opposition and empowering the majority of Americans who oppose him.
But they've already done that. They've already silenced many people.
Don't forget, this is a document drafted in 2017.
Okay, because I was going to say, man, they've been busy on Twitter and Facebook. I mean, putting people in Facebook jail for no reason, and Twitter, and taking them down. So
take a listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
This came from 2017, right after the president has been elected.
Mm-hmm.
This is what Share Blue is saying. We are not waiting to see what Trump does in office. We mm-hmm. do not give him the benefit of the doubt. He's told us what he wants to do to our country, and we believe him. We dedicate every day to calling out Trump and all who cooperate with him, including Democrats who capitulate to the administration, and bolstering those who most effectively oppose him, including Republicans who rebel against his rule. We are bold, full-throated, and we are not backing down. Authoritarianism, kleptocracy, co-optation by Russia, and white supremacy are well within our sights, and we must fight back.
Well, I don't doubt it, because what's missing in leftist progressivism is conscience and values. That's pretty much where they're at. We'll do whatever it takes. We don't care, just to get control so that we can demonstrate power. And there's no conscience to it. And this is why I don't like to hang out with a lot of leftist progressives, but I do like to hang out with people with certain principles and values, because I know there's a conscience there. With these people, there's no conscience. There's no conscience.
Well, and here's how you know there's no conscience, mm-hmm. because here's the next paragraph.
Whoops, better hurry.
So remember that these are people who are generating content for social media that mm-hmm. will be circulated widely.
Right.
Messaging based solely on facts does not resonate with a broad audience.
Wow.
Isn't that sad?
Yeah, it's really sad. It's really sad to hear. Melissa, thanks. Appreciate all the information. Thank you. And I know. And I'll be back for the final hour of the show today. Be right back. Quick break. And we have a lot to go over in the next hour. So you got to stay tuned. We'll be right back.